Hello and croeso, welcome to this week's episode of Welsh Murders and Mysteries. I'm Mags, Kay's co-host, the non-Welsh one, and this week on the spooky and mysterious side, we are going to be talking about the legend of the Welsh Atlantis. Sources will be available in the show notes. Of Atlantis, possibly even watched the Disney film about it, and maybe even heard of Doggerland, but have you heard of Canthra'r Gwaelod? It is a story that is quite well known in Wales. A few versions of the story exist, and you can find them linked in the show notes, but they all boil down to a similar theme. Once upon a time, Amser Maith an Ol, there was a kingdom called Merionydd that was richer than most, ruled by a man called Gwyddno Garanhir, also known as Longshanks, which makes the Tolkien nerd in me really smile. The kingdom was by the sea and had an area of land that was particularly special because it lay below sea level. The kingdom had built a system of sluices and embankments to protect the kingdom and that land, and opened the sluices to flood the land as needed for agriculture, which made it particularly fertile. It was said that 1 acre of the land there was worth 4 acres anywhere else. The land was that blessed. The only thing was that those sluices needed to be strictly monitored and closed every night to prevent the land from being irreversibly flooded by the incoming tide. One day, someone, allegedly Saithenin of Dyfed, called one of the 3 errant drunkards of the Isle of Britain in the Triads, forgot to close the sluices, apparently after being a little too liberal with the wine. And in one evening, in one night, the kingdom of Canthra'r Gwaelod and its 16 cities and castle was lost to the depths of the sea. Gwyddno and his inner circle managed to flee via San Cynfelin, but the next morning Gwyddno was so distraught that he could not speak, and he uttered a heartfelt sigh of deep sorrow over the sea that now covered his lost kingdom. And to this day, when one has a deep sorrow, he was in charge of the sluices. Some stories say it was a man named Saithenin, who was either a knight or a prince of the neighbouring land, and some say it was a maiden named Merarid, who may have been the princess of the kingdom tasked by Gwyddno to maintain the sacred well by drawing 3 buckets of water every day to empty them on the land. And one day, when she'd become annoyed at her continuing duties, she stopped drawing the water from the well, and a few days later it overflowed, and then the water never stopped flowing. Another story says that Merarid was the guardian priestess of Moelihin, a magic well near El Crystal Clear Lake. One version of the story recounts that some men came along and were so abusive to the priestess that she was distraught and the seal that she guarded on the magic well was undone and could never be closed. There is even one poem that calls out Saithenin directly, saying, "Saithenin, come out and look towards the abode of heroes. The plain of Gwyddno is overwhelmed by the sea. Cursed be the embankment which let it in, after wine, the open fountain of the roaring deep. Cursed be the keep of the floodgates, who, after his festive mirth, let in the fountain of the desolating ocean." And now, they say, if you go to Cardigan Bay, and the time of year is just right, and the tide is at its lowest, you might just have the good luck to see what remains of Canthra'r Gwaelod, and hear the bells of the lost city ringing under the... So where could the Welsh Atlantis have actually been? I did a bit of exploring for this based on what I'd found out whilst researching this episode. On a cold but sunny day, I hopped on the train at Aberystwyth Station for my very short journey to a small town called Borth. One of the quaintest train stations I've ever seen greeted me. It's a single platform, and on the land side, it's just got the quintessential Welsh view of hills and sheep, and it was just green and sunny and beautiful. Highly recommend going for a visit if you get the chance. I left the station and walked up the small street of brightly coloured houses and onto the beach in search of this legend. And it's only... The reason that I found myself in Borth is that the sources and Welsh folkloric tradition all point to Cardigan Bay, or Bay Ceredigion, as the location of Cantregwaelod. It's on the weather-beaten west coast of Cymru, facing across the Irish Sea to Ireland. There is a map known as the Gough Map that is dated between the 14th and 15th centuries that shows two islands off the coast of Cymru in Cardigan Bay. And neither of these islands exist anymore, pointing once again to Cardigan Bay potentially being the location of Cantregwaelod. Weather has beaten this Welsh coastline for thousands of years, but particularly and most recently between 2014 and 2019, where storms revealed an ancient forest stretching between Inislas and Morthborth. The pictures are absolutely spellbinding. You can see these ancient tree stumps all covered in peat and sand, and they're really only visible at the lowest of tides, and this is what I came to Borth in search of. The tide was actually quite high when I was able to visit, but I did manage to see some of the tree stumps. You can see the pictures on our Instagram, and I am keen to go back and visit when the tide is much lower to explore a bit more, because I did not get enough of the magic of that place. It was very, very cool. So the weather conditions in the 2010s were not the first time that this forest had been seen in modern times. A book published in 1920 has a drawing of the submerged forest remains at Borth and talks of a mention of the forest in an 1849 publication of the Arche Cambrensis. It's again mentioned in an 1808 Meyrick's History of Cardiganshire and again in an 1832 geological survey paper by the Reverend James Yates. Archaeological work there has dated samples of the trees to between 5,000 and 4,500 years old, and excavations have found flints, Mesolithic tools, and even the skeleton of an auroch that was found in the 1960s. Ashton writes that it's a significant fact that the area would be dry land if the bay was uplifted 42 feet. Corresponds fairly well with that assigned by tradition to the lost Cantregwaelod. Because people have lived in what is now Wales and Ireland for thousands of years, it is likely that they would have witnessed the rise in an ocean surface that drowned the land bridge. There are some land features that I mentioned earlier, namely sarns. A sarn is a raised road or embankment or defence against the sea, and there are a few of them in the area, namely Sarn Cynfelyn and Sarn Badrig. Sarn Badrig means boat destroyer, which is a really cool name. And there is a theory that states that Sarn Badrig and Sarn Cynfelyn may have had a connecting bank between them that could have formed part of the sea barrier, and that their solid rock foundation was an advantage to this sea barrier, where gates could have been made in the connecting bank to allow the ebb and flow. There is also Sarn Wallog, which is a causeway that runs about 2.5 miles north out of Aberystwyth, reaching 7 miles into the sea, that has some old ruins near its endpoint, and the ruins are referred to as Caerwythno. And folkloric tradition has it that the royal palace once stood here, and sightings of it out in the sea have been recorded as far back as 1833, and it is giving me heavy Narnia vibes with Caer Paravel. The town of Aberystwyth itself was surrounded by walls and ditches until at least 1760, when some of the walls were taken down, with the rest being removed in the following 50 years. It's known that Romans constructed similar embankments on the South Holland coast, and other embankments have been found on the North German coast that suffer from similar inundations, causing them to be strengthened and lengthened repeatedly. While most sources do point to Cardigan Bay as being the location of Cantregwaelod, there is an outlier in the myth of the Welsh Atlantis, and that is Llyshelyg, which is near Llandudno. According to Historic UK, this does come under another legendary name, which is Tynwhelyg, and not Cantregwaelod. Please let us know if you're interested in an episode on that myth. I would be more than happy to research it. It's mysterious and spooky. What can be stated is, whether you believe in Cantregwaelod having sunk or not, the possibility does exist of a city having been sunken under the waves hundreds, if not thousands, of years ago. We're witnessing the real-time sinking of settlements in the wake of climate change and global warming. Just take a look at Kiribati, Tuvalu, and even the coastlines of Britain. And if Cantregwaelod did sink, the waves of the ocean could have carried away any definitive evidence of the city over the years since it succumbed to the depths of Davy Jones's locker. One question that you may have is, when did it sink? The first written mention of the Cantregwaelod flood is in the Black Book of Carmarthen, which is a 9th to 12th century collection of secular and religious poetry, and that is kept in the Welsh National Library in Aberystwyth. You can view it online, and there is a link in the show notes if you want to take a look for yourself, but I do highly recommend taking a visit to the Welsh National Library. It's a really beautiful building, and it's really, really peaceful, set up above the hills in Aber. There is also a mention in the Mabinogion of Bendigeidfran wading across to Ireland, and later the sea spread out when it flooded the kingdoms, which is held to be a reference to the flood of Canthar Gwaelod. And the 9th century Historia Brittonum tells of a marine phenomenon in the 5th or 6th century where there were unusual tidal conditions and a mountainous wave came along. At the very beginning of this episode, you might recall that I mentioned something called the Triads. In Welsh, they are called the Trioeth Ynys Prydain. They are medieval Welsh manuscripts that preserve Welsh folklore, mythology, and traditional history in groups of three, hence why they're called triads. According to geomythology, which is the study of geological events combined with stories and legends that have been handed down over centuries, there are several stories across the British Isles that talk of something happening in the 5th or 6th centuries. That something being unclear, but for example, in the map made by Ptolemy, Cornwall is shown as extending much, much further west, and Arthurian myth tells that Lyonesse, which is the land west of Cornwall and associated with King Arthur, being lost in the 6th century. A hero king could very well have ruled over Cornwall and maybe parts of Devon and Somerset, and this hero king is believed to have been born in 501 AD, which matches the 6th century lost date. However, there are other sources that show this as having happened as late as the 14th century. There are other stories that speak of a great tidal wave that overwhelmed Winchester and Rye in the 6th century and the course of the Rother River being changed. The remains of an ancient church near Glastonbury Tor are held to have been shaken down in the 6th century, according to local lore. The 5th century is when local tradition tells us that Lancashire and Cheshire were separated by a violent convulsion. 7 earthquakes are recorded as having happened in the 6th century in Britain and Ireland, and that one occurred on the 6th of September 543 AD that was felt throughout the then known world. This could be the date when Canthar Gwaelod and Lyonesse and other inundations that occurred across the north of Europe were lost. The trees in Borth have been sampled and sent for scientific evaluation, which has dated them to around 5,000 to 4,500 years ago. And while that might seem out of the date range, the scientific analysis shows that the forest was flourishing then, and the date they sank has not actually been established. All of that to say, I can't actually tell you when it sank, we don't know that date. If you are interested in learning more about the Canthar Gwaelod, Neil Oliver has an episode on his history podcast, Love Letter to the British Isles, that you can listen to, and you can check out our show notes for further resources. You can also take a little day trip to Borth if you're really interested. I do recommend it. It was absolutely gorgeous when I went. You can see that on our Instagram photos. I am going to end with a quote from a poem called The Inundation of the Canthar Gwaelod by Griffith Edwards that I found particularly poignant. The ocean rolled his mountain wave, where lofty towers reached the sky, and turned the palace to a grave. Now vessels sail where cities lie. I hope you have enjoyed this episode of Welsh Murders and Mysteries, and that you'll join Kay and myself on another episode. Special thanks to my Welsh whisperer, who is helping me out with my pronunciation, and mistakes are my own as a learner of this beautiful language. I apologise for any that I have made. Hwyl fawr, and see you next time.